When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad. This week we're joined, as always, by Pete Donaldson. I've ruined the intro.
Why?
What happened, Pete? I've stumbled away.
It was fine, wasn't it? It was absolutely fine.
It was going really well.
Knocked it out of the park.
And then it didn't.
Well, I'm here. To be honest, Chris, you have started most podcasts recently without me being involved. And the problem is, every time you've sold me not being here, you've said that you've given me the day off or something. I was here, Chris. I was ready to do a podcast, but you were airy-fairy, messing around, Tsukurajima. I must see this volcano. I must fight with swords and Natsuki on a beach somewhere. I must do all of this stuff. Honestly, outrageous, besmirching my good name.
Well, I forgot the line. You're a top Japan enthusiast.
Oh, is that right?
That was the last piece of the introduction.
It's very much like the family Polaroid in the film Back to the Future. My love of Japan is, you know, it's dwindling. I can't get in. I'm still watching as much Japanese J-vlogging as I possibly can, but it's there's a hole in my heart that I can't fill anymore. How many videos with three views of people in a fucking Japanese capsule hotel? How many videos do I have to watch before I'm allowed to go in my own Japanese capsule hotel? Outrageous.
All of them, Pete. It's been like I think 4 years since I did my capsule hotel video, and I've got to do a new one soon because you're desperate, when the chips are down, it's time to go to a capsule hotel and get 5 million views for doing nothing other than just sitting in a capsule hotel. It's one of those four or five guaranteed hit videos. You can do them over and over four or five times and people will still watch them. I don't get why. It's just a small box with a bed in it, but people love it, Pete. Why is it so popular?
Because the coffin is where we'll all end up. And this it tells us a lot about, you know, whether you can deal with it, to be quite frank. We'll all end in our own Japanese capsule hotel, won't we? Unless we're cremated.
That's a really grim, opening to the podcast.
Yeah.
I come here for being cheered up when I get to hear your voice.
But with cremation, though, like they put you in a box. God. And then they cremate you. It's like, just cremate me straight, because I don't want to be put in a, because when you sort of spread ashes, they go everywhere, and it's like, oh, I threw it to the wind, and you know, he's everywhere, he or she's everywhere, and they're in the wind, and they're in their happy place. But before they went to their happy place, they were in a box, so I'm terribly restricted, and then my ashes go free. Just burn me, just chop me up into little pieces and throw me to the birds. I'll not give a shit.
I will gladly incinerate you, Pete. Don't you worry.
Thanks, mate.
Sprinkle your ashes over Shibuya Crossing, where you deserve to be.
Yes, please. Throw a bucket of it in Gas Panic, then Rockaholic, and then put me in a little packet of Coolish. Beautiful.
That's amazing. Do you reckon people have actually had their ashes scattered over Shibuya Crossing? It's definitely happened.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, it's probably happened. I mean, it's. I mean, I guess with Tokyo being quite obsessed with like anti-terrorism measures, you would look a bit sus if you're just throwing this weird substance all over the ground at the world's busiest crossing. Wow, just to end up on some salaryman's foot.
Oh God.
What a grim way to start the show.
Isn't it? Do you know somebody who's had their ashes thrown over Shibuya Crossing? Let us know at broadjapanpodcast@gmail.com. This week, guys, it's a fax machine special where we read out your questions, your stories, your comments. But before we dive headfirst into the fax machine, we've got a story from Michael Cannon. That's a cool name, Michael Cannon. Yeah. He begins, Chris and Coolish Man, greetings from Southern California. After listening to others write in about their experiences with friendly Japan, I thought I would share some of mine. My teenage son and I were there during Typhoon Hagibis in October 4th, 2019. While travelling around, we were given apples. oranges, and cantaloupe. And a very elderly man in Kyoto, who spoke no English, ran two blocks to get us to a bus stop. At that bus stop, an elderly woman gave my son an origami animal, held two seats for us on the bus, and proceeded to make more origami animals, which she gave him as we got off the bus. We were also invited to play a board game on a train and given two bottles of sake and one more of a bottle of plum wine. All in all, it was the greatest trip and a dream. We dream of venturing back to Japan as soon as I can. Michael Cannon. I love the way there's no context there. It sounds like he just went through like a celebrity through the streets of Japan, given apples, oranges, cantaloupes, origami animals. Animals, we don't know what animals they were. They were just origami animals. Several origami animals. Why do you think Michael Cannon and his teenage son were awarded so many gifts on their trip to Japan, Pete?
So that you come home and sort of get everyone else excited about traveling to Japan, I would say. Look, these people have an inert love for their country, and they have an inert love for the spectacular kind of and loving kind of an act, I suppose. And these kind of things make you think, oh, you know, all the Japanese people are really lovely. And that is what Japanese pride is. Good service, great times, foamy beer.
And a cantaloupe. I mean,
and a cantaloupe.
Was this something, maybe it was something to do with the typhoon. Is it typhoon related? Again, there's a lack of context there. It's kind of an open-ended little bit of detective work required for this one.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, what happened in Typhoon Hagibis? You were there. What happened?
It was a bad typhoon. It was one of the worst typhoons in, I think, 30 or 40 years. And it devastated the country. I don't remember what I was doing at the time. 2019. I think I was just sitting in a room. I think I avoided most of it because it wasn't too bad in North Japan.
Had you own cantaloupes?
Cantaloupe. God. All right. Let's dive into the fax machine before we spend any more time on this ridiculous story.
Let's draw a line under this.
The line is drawn.
It's a story about the apples and the cantaloupes. The buttons.
The only fruit I've ever been gifted in Japan are some cherries when I went to a hot spring once. So I got out the hot spring. Mm. I was sitting there drinking some milk because that's what you do after you go in a hot spring in Japan. And a kind elderly man came over and said, "Sakurambo," which is the Japanese word for cherry. He didn't pronounce it like a London gangster. And he gave me some cherries. And I went, "Oh, arigato gozaimasu." And that was it. And I ate the cherries. Yeah. There you go. So you do get a lot of fruit.
Was it Sakurambo or Sakurambo?
Sakurambo. Sounds like Sakurambo.
Yeah, it does a little bit. Sakurambo.
Sakurambo. We've got one from Vela. The first question of the week. Over to you, Pete.
Vela, love that name. Love it. I don't know what it is about your podcast. I do, you know, 8 podcasts a week, and this is the one I'm usually more ill prepared for because it's in the morning. And all the names are just everybody has got a knockout name. And for a person who like doesn't have a middle name, it's actually quite inspirational. I might adopt one of these as one of my.
You don't have a middle name,
Peter Vela Donaldson. I'd take it.
You don't have a middle name.
No, my parents are lazy. Hello and greetings from Finland. Love your podcast and I can't wait to see Journey Across Japan 3. Me too, actually. Well, I've tried to ask for the rushes. I've tried to ask for it for him to mail me a Lacey drive so I can see all of the outtakes, but he's having none of it. He won't let me see it until he's edited it. I've got a question for you guys about time management and trying to be in control of your life in general. I've always had a hard time separating time for pleasure, work and rest and end up procrastinating everything. Vela, my heart goes out to you because that's exactly what I'm like. Have you developed any useful tools or coping mechanisms dealing with such things, having experience working as your own boss? Chris, you strike me as someone who has managed fairly well to keep your personal life private from your public persona despite working in social media. How easy is it for you to separate your work and content from yourself and free time, or do they end up jumbling together? How do you set one's own boundaries? Vela, some great questions. And for the modern YouTuber, could not be more important. Could not be more important.
Right, Alan Partridge. There is no boundary. My life, my work is just one and the same. I don't feel like I've had a holiday since like 2019. Because even when I'm on holiday, I'm usually filming something. Like I was in Kyoto with Connor, Sea Dog VA, the other day in a nice little townhouse. And we weren't going to film anything. But then I thought, I've got to film this.
Yeah.
Because I'm a YouTuber. And I didn't enjoy it. Because I had to film it. But like in terms of time management, every day in the morning, I write down a list of the 10 things I've got to do. And then I tick them off as I go. And that is how I succeed in everything I do. I tick things off as I work my way through the list. And the trick is to get the easy tasks done first and out of the way. So you create some momentum as you tick down that list. And also when I'm editing, because it's quite easy to get like to procrastinate when you edit and to just go off and look at something on YouTube, I tend to time every hour that I edit. So I'll have like a piece of paper next to me and I'll write down like hour one, hour two, hour three. And then I'll time it on my phone. And then I feel like I'm racing against the clock. And that kind of competitive aspect helps me edit. And then at the end of each hour, I'll write a little report on what I edited. If I was a motivated good person, none of this would be necessary. But because I get sidetracked watching funny videos of cats, I have to do it. I have to do it.
Mm.
But there's no easy way around.
I just say yes to everything that someone asks me to do, and then spend all of my time feeling guilty that I've not done the thing that someone asked me to do, forgetting things, being a bit of a fuck up generally, and then getting everything done about an hour before it's supposed to go in. So either technique is good. Write yourself a list, or just be an absolute imbecile.
Absolutely. I recommend writing that list, though, so you don't end up being a slipshod presenter like Pete on the Everyone Japan podcast. Got one from Jamie. He says, "Hi, Chris and Pete. Really enjoyed the podcast and the channel. I was listening to your interview with Dogen while you were talking about English teaching and what to do after teaching English. I've been living in China for the last 15 years, originally from the UK, and also spent a few years teaching English, and I could really relate to your experiences of teaching English. After several years, I was able to transition into corporate training and I now travel around China and Asia delivering leadership and soft skill training, and I really enjoy it. A part of my heart wishes I went to Japan instead, but I sense it would have been much harder to transition out of English teaching in Japan than the wild, opportunistic, ever-changing China. So I'm curious, for the people who have got out of teaching English in Japan, besides becoming YouTubers, what other things have people gone on to do? All the best, Jamie." I don't know. Maybe it is difficult. There's a problem in Japan that they have all these great people come on the JET program and sort of become a part of the local community in rural, far-flung places. They make friends. They become ingrained in the culture and the sort of local area. And then their career as a teacher on JET comes to an end and they're sort of like, you know, time to go now. Goodbye. And it's a real shame. I think it's a real problem that you know, Japan is missing a treat by having these people come and become a part of the local area. But there are still opportunities. I know people working in IT. I know people working as recruitment consultants, interpreters, in marketing. I've got a guy in PR. They all do exist in Tokyo, most of those jobs. So bear that in mind. If you are wanting to do something that's not teaching, Tokyo or Osaka, it's going to be one of those places probably. But if you know Japanese, it does open a lot of doors. So it probably is easier in China to switch away from teaching English. I know a few friends that did it, but it's not impossible in Japan. But obviously, if you speak Japanese, that'll open a lot more doors than it would if he didn't. Mm. Any thoughts, Pete?
What's the Japanese for door?
Door.
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 Well,
door.
I'm glad I put you on the spot with that absolute curveball.
Door.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
No, I mean, not being any of those things myself. I imagine, like, the Chinese kind of economy is kind of like built on just people just doing whatever the hell they want, and then just sort of, and then financially just sort of going, is that all right? Seems so. So there's probably a lot more kind of like free thinking outside of the realm of education jobs, and also like there's a lot of jobs where, you know, they just need a white face in to make it, to give it like that kind of so-called perceived prestige that a lot of companies, international flavor, a lot of companies have, but you don't necessarily see quite so much in Japan.
I am the face of prestige. Let it be known. Put me in anywhere and your company will have a 30% increase in profits.
I'd love to see your face being used on like a product. Like, you know, when Homer Simpson gets used on a product in Japan, Mr. Sparkle. I think it'd be really funny if you, for some reason, because you've been in Japan for a little while, your face gets used on some toilet tissue or something.
I feel I haven't been exploited to the full potential of Japanese companies. No. I would love to be the face of something. Don't know what. Toilet roll, probably something better than that.
Just something like really weird, like squash rackets.
Squash rackets.
Yeah, because you look a bit like an investment banker.
I've been the voice of a tire company. I've did the voice for commercials. Like, our tires are 30% better than our competitors, and they're really good. I can't remember what I said. It was something like that. I was told my voice did not have enough feeling and I had to keep doing it.
Oh,
I'd be like, our tires. It's what it started off like. Our tires are better than our competitors by 30%. And by the end, it was like, our tires are fucking amazing. The best fucking tires you'll ever see. You'll ride.
Put them on your car. You'll drive to the fucking moon, mate.
you should be the voice of the tire company. Absolutely.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
This week at Sukarnov. On the latest episode of Between the Lines with Melissa Reddy, Melissa speaks to footballer Lee Nicol, who in 2019 was hacked and had intimate footage leaked online. Lee opens up about the impact it had on her and how she came back from it.
The first mental impact, it was sheer shock. It was panic attacks. It was shame. It was guilt. I think I felt every single sense of emotion. It felt a little bit like grief, as if I had lost someone, but I hadn't lost someone. The only person that I think I'd lost was myself.
Meanwhile, on the latest On the Continent on Football Ramble Presents, Dotton, Andy and Miguel Delaney unpack everything surrounding the Super League and how it has changed football forever.
When you watch a Champions League game, when you watch, say, Manchester United in Champions League, Real Madrid in Champions League, it's not just a match. It's that every single minute of the match is imbued with seven decades of history. The Super League, which has none of that. It was getting quite sad for that we were going to lose this and have to face this monstrosity.
All that and a whole lot more at Stakhanov.
We got a message from Lars. Hello, Lars. Let me tell you a story about the time I went to Japan, and I want to visit you. I want to share with you the artifact I brought home. In early March 2020, I traveled to Tokyo for vacation. In hindsight, I probably should have stayed at home, but I thought the corona situation was stable at that moment, and I didn't want to waste all that money I'd spent. My vacation was still amazing, and I'm glad I finally got to visit Japan before the corona turned the entire world upside down, and I brought back an item that made my travel completely worth it. Before I left, I was shopping for souvenirs, and I got hold of a very small item, a 3D paper puzzle with some very funny English sentences written on it. I attach a picture of it, and here is the sentence in question. 3D paper puzzle is taking advantage of the goodness of the delicate laser machine. Pleased to breathe new life with your feeling. Wish you guys all the best, Lars. Lovely. Lovely little paper puzzle.
I love that that smug arrogance. The 3D paper puzzle is taking advantage of the goodness of the delicate laser machine. So
I got a lot of time for that. That's very enjoyable. I mean, they're just really excited about the fact that they've used a laser to cut some wood out.
Breathe new life with your feeling.
All the gear. No idea. Terrible.
Beautiful, beautiful. We've got one here from Max. He says, hello, gentlemen. This story is from a friend of mine, told with his permission. In 2013, he was somewhere in the realm of 350 pounds, and at 5'6", he was a truly fat fellow.
A truly fat fellow. Enjoyable.
Nonetheless, he visited Japan. I love that. Nonetheless, he visited. God.
With his big fat legs.
And during his visit, he went to Universal Studios in Osaka. While near the back of the line for the roller coaster, he was approached by park staff and directed towards the front of the line. The poor fool thought he was being given some kind of VIP treatment, but this was not the case. He was being taken to the front of the line where a weigh station was. He was instructed to stand on it, and when his full weight in kilograms came up on the bright screen for all to see, he was told he was simply too heavy to go on the ride. Remember, this was in front of literally dozens of skinny young Japanese people, all of whom watched him as he was rejected and walked away slowly. This, I think, is the true definition of horror, and it's the reason I am admittedly a heavy man, and it's the reason I will never attempt to ride a roller coaster in Japan. Thank you for the podcast, gentlemen. Sincerely, Max. Oh, dear. That's sad, isn't it?
That is sad, and I guess there's rules and regulations behind it, but I mean, what's £350? 25 stone? I mean, it's not ideal, but I mean, sumo wrestlers are probably bigger, aren't they? They're certainly taller. So
yeah, I don't think sumo wrestlers can go on the bloody rides at Universal Studios.
Why not? You never seen a sumo wrestler on a roller coaster? I bet there's a picture of a sumo wrestler on a roller coaster, and I bet I could find one in about 5 seconds, matey.
I want to put that to 158 kilograms, this chap. So, I mean, that is quite a lot, especially if you're 5'6". That's that's a pretty high BMI. That's over 30.
Like that man who got the COVID jab because they thought he was 2 inches tall.
Yes, the 2-inch man because it was a screw-up. I mean, I've got on roller coasters, and while it's been a bit of a struggle sometimes to put the bloody bring it down over my head as well. And I'm not, you know, I'm 85 kilograms. So it's a bit worrying. So, yeah, I mean, that's something to consider. I bet he felt really disappointed, though. Like, when the staff came and saw him in the queue, and he was like, and they were like, come with us. He probably thought, yes, being a foreigner in Japan has paid off. And then they're like, get on the scales, mate. And he was like, oh, crap. But I feel sorry for him. That's sad. But
there's other things to do in the park. It's the rubber dinghy rapids. I'm sure you get one of them. All good.
The rubber dinghy rapids.
I don't know. What's a Universal Studios? I've never been.
I've got Mario Land. Mario Land, Pete. Mario
yes.
Land.
That looks very small. It doesn't look like... there'll be so many people trying to get in, but it looks very, very diminutive in space.
Diminutive in space. Well, there was a story this week in Universal Studios. Because Osaka's got loads of coronavirus cases, the local authorities said they could keep the park open, but they weren't allowed any people. So it was like...
cool.
Just shut the park.
Cool.
So yeah. The USJ were like, what does that mean? Can people come? And they were like, no. But you can keep the park open. It's like brilliant.
Yeah. When is it going to hit sort of terminal velocity where, you know, people who are their whole kind of thing is based around international travel. It's just going to turn around the government and go, sort your fucking shit out, because this is a joke. Let people in. This is insane.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One from Lucas.
Got one from Lucas. Hello, Lucas. Hi, this is Lucas from Bavaria. I've recently picked up learning Japanese as I might get the chance to go there for a few months next year. My goal is to be able to order at a restaurant or start a simple conversation without needing to be afraid I might get shouted at for not understanding the language. I don't really want to learn kanji, as it seems not worth it if I don't want to live there permanently. Now to my question/discussion topic. It is the year 2050. YouTubers have taken over Japan. They have appointed Christopher Broad, the Prime Minister of Japan. If you yes. could, would you abolish the use of kanji once and for all? Or if you do it, what other writing system would you appoint? Hiragana only? Romaji only? Or would you use your unlimited power to install a system entirely based on pictures of me, Pete Donaldson? My very uninformed opinion is that language should be accessible and that kanji are, by all means, as unaccessible as it gets. Many greetings. Thanks for the human Japanese recommendation. It is amazing. Lucas.
I would use Natsuki as the foundation of a brand new language.
Right.
Don't
okay,
really know
nice.
How. Just yeah. images of him smoking in different ways would be the would be the writing system.
I'd use the little characters in Duolingo that sort of make you feel guilty about the little fucking parrot or whatever that is. Get fucked.
Little fucking parrot.
You made me sad. You made Duolingo sad. He's got to learn Japanese by himself. Well, I only had a look at it because I wanted to see what it was like, and I didn't rate it. Up your bum.
I haven't used Duolingo in years.
Duolingo.
Yeah, there goes that sponsor out the window. Another sponsor destroyed before the end of the episode.
Wankers.
Oh, man. But... we get a lot of listeners who like Duolingo, and I haven't used it in years. I remember I used it to learn French, and I felt really clever. I did it for like a week, and I mastered how to say like three sentences in French.
I just got the wrong end of the stick, I think, with Japanese Duolingo. I dipped a toe a little while ago, and they seem to sort of introduce words that you've not learnt before and just expect you to sort of absorb that. And to be honest, it does kind of work, but you do sort of go like... why are you teaching? I've not learned this word. So why can you just, why are you suddenly starting to use this word that I've not been told about before? Maybe that's how they do it. They just introduce it and you kind of do it. We're doing it over and over again, but it struck me as being a little bit strange, but that said, and then again, I am incredibly, weak-willed and incredibly
Absolutely.
Lazy.
Absolutely. I think I every day I get about 57 messages from people around the world saying, can I use Duolingo to learn Japanese? And the answer is no. It's more of a game for fun. Like it is, you know, it is a good app. I do like Duolingo, but you're not going to do Duolingo for a week, come over to Japan and be able to have a conversation or do anything of real tangible value. So bear that in mind. Great app though, a lot of fun. If you want to learn something, human Japanese, which I definitely prefer. What are you going to say? You look like you're going to say something profound there. Rearing his head over the microphone.
I'm chewing on a roll plug I found on my desk. Bringing to this Wednesday show.
Oh dear. I wouldn't. And on the subject of replacing kanji characters, no, I'd keep it. I do like kanji, even if it's a fucking nightmare to learn 2,200 characters. Once you've learned them, it is kind of fun to look at a character and suddenly know the meaning. Like you look at the character for dog, and you can it's just dog. Or water.
It's just dog.
I'm thinking dog because I'm watching you chew on some plastic. It's not helping. It's a disgrace. Plastic. A disgrace, quite frankly. That is all for this week, though, ladies and gentlemen. We're cutting it short. I can no longer stare at Pete eating some plastic. No. Any final thoughts Any final thoughts, Pete?
Look before, after yourselves. Before I kill you. One another.
Before I cremate
you. Get your vaccines. And stay in school. Ta-ta.
Excellent. I'm going to cremate you very soon. Maybe
you're going to cremate me, rotter.
Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in. TripleOnePodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back to do it all over again on Sunday.
Yes.
Sunday.
Correct. Yes. True.
I know the schedule. See you then, guys. For now, enjoy the rest of the week. Have a good one. We'll see you then.
Bye-bye.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.